So to get started, we'll show that video, and it's more of an introduction and gives us a lot of information, and I'll reiterate a lot of it because it's just really good stuff. So we'll show the video, and then I'll get up, and we'll talk a little bit more about Paris.
I'm Kyle Gewens, and this is my wife, Abigail, and son, Philip. And God has called us to be missionaries in Paris, France. He laid this burden on our hearts while Abby and I were students in Bible college. I was thinking about the great need for the gospel in big cities around the world, and it was like God said, Kyle, why don't you go? After much prayer, counsel, and research, God laid the city of Paris, France, on my heart. When I look into Scripture, I can't help but notice the great desire and burden that the Apostle Paul has for the city of Rome. The old saying goes, all roads lead to Rome. And I believe Paul couldn't help but think that all roads lead from Rome. It was evident to Paul that if the gospel of Christ was spread across Rome, then it could spread through the entire world. And I think the same thing about God calling us to Paris. Paris is a great city of influence with a population of over 10 million people. It's one of the top 10 largest cities in Europe. Marked by diverse cultures and religious beliefs, Paris is a melting pot for Western Europe. There's refugees coming from the Middle East. There's immigrants who've been coming from surrounding countries for over 100 years. Once the gospel gets into the city, Paris could see a revival that would have the potential to spread across the entire world. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, those who get saved can become involved and become pastors, teachers, and missionaries. Paris will be a launching pad where men and women would be trained, sent out, that we might see the gospel spread across the entire world.
We start now with some breaking news. Reports are coming in of an attack, or quite possibly several attacks, in Paris. Reports are talking of a burst of gunfire at a restaurant in the 10th arrondissement. Now, the details are still sketchy. Libération, the paper on Twitter.
In November of 2015, soon after God called us to be missionaries in Paris, coordinated terror attacks struck the city in 6 different locations, killing well over 100 people. Through news reports, I witnessed a city of hurting people. Racked in pain and disbelief, a Paris banded together and held funerals and candlelight vigils for the victims. As I watched their response to this horrible tragedy, it dawned upon me that this was a city of people looking for hope, but not having any idea where to find it. With a religious demographic largely comprised of atheists, Muslims, and Catholics, it was evident that when it comes to an eternal destiny, the majority of Parisians don't have the true hope and security that we have as believers. 0.5% of the 10 million inhabitants of Paris claim to be evangelical Christians. Combine that with the fact that there's only a handful of Bible-preaching churches in the city, and it's evident that there's a great need for the gospel. Matthew 9:36 speaks of Jesus seeing the multitudes and having compassion on them. Paris is a great multitude, and when I see a city so religiously and culturally diverse, but with so little gospel influence, my heart's stirred. And I can't help but have compassion on them. And that's why we feel the call of God on our life to reach them. We are committed to the city and what Christ has commanded us to do. And now as we're on deputation, there's nothing more I can envision doing with my life than serving God in the city of Paris. We've shared with you our vision, our burden, and the need for the gospel in Paris, France. Now I'd like to present 2 ways that you can get involved. 1, you can pray that God will continue to strengthen and empower us as we prepare for the work He's called us to do. And 2, you can stand with us financially, so that we're able to minister effectively to the people of Paris. Would you consider coming alongside of us? We would love to be your missionary to Paris, France.
And that's what we want to do. We missed a little bit at the beginning, but my wife, Abigail, she's here. And then our son, Philip, he is in the nursery. He turned 8 months old yesterday. And if you, well, most of you probably haven't met Philip yet, but you need to meet him. He is the highlight of our family. He's a happy kid, and he'd love to meet you, make your acquaintance. But Paris, I just don't know exactly how to put into words just and in the amount of time we have. I mean, I could talk all day about the city and still not cover everything that I think that God has in store for it. We just got back from our survey trip on Wednesday. We spent 2 weeks in Paris, and we were there. We were meeting with missionaries. We met 6 different missionaries. We went to 2 different churches. We talked to numerous people, numerous Frenchmen, and it's just even more evident that that city needs to know who Jesus is. It's even more evident to know that, it's even more evident that that city needs some gospel influence. We talked to one man. He's been serving in France for 70 years. He's 96 years old. He's been there 70 years, planting churches in France. And he's started the 2 churches that we visited there. But he's the only person I've ever heard of that's been doing anything in the city for the past century. And think about how many generations of children have grown up, went to the school there in Paris, learned, you know, about atheism and the humanistic mindset, and learned all this stuff their entire life, had no influence of the Bible or of Jesus, possibly never even heard his name. Generations have grown up like this. And why has there not been anyone there preaching the gospel? And that's, I just can't help but I just have compassion on those people. I mean, so many people, we walk by people, and it's almost like every single person we walk by, it's, you can almost guarantee that they're lost. We were there over New Year's, and we were on the Champs-Élysées, and that's kind of a main street in Paris, and that's kind of where all the, you know, the big stuff is happening. And for a mile, the road, it's, you know, it's probably a 8-lane road. The road is just covered in people. I mean, for a mile, crowds of people. And I stood there and I thought, I'm here standing among hundreds of thousands of people, and there's a chance that I'm the only Christian standing here. I mean, that's the kind of city that we're going to minister to. A city that does not know who Jesus is. They don't know anything about the Bible. I mean, you could go and you could, you know, say, you know, Jesus loves you. Who's Jesus? You know, that's kind of weird that he loves me. I've never met the guy. I mean, that's the kind of world we're going into. We definitely appreciate any prayers we can get. We have our prayer cards back on our table. We pick one up. If you want to, you can pick up 10 of them, and you can put them anywhere you want. You can put them on, you can put them in your bathroom mirror, you can put them on the fridge, you can put them in the car, on the dash. I mean, anywhere you can think, put it, bookmark your Bible with it. Anywhere you can put it so you can think to pray for some missionaries going to France. I spoke a little bit about the difficulty in reaching people in France, and it's not easy. I mentioned the kids growing up. The kids there, they start school at age 3. They're going to school 8 hours a day, starting at age 3, all the way through high school. And it's all school is it's them. It's about what you can do and what you can achieve. And you don't need any help from religion because you can do it on your own. And they grow up. And so now in Paris and France as well, 40% of the population would say, I'm atheist. I don't believe that God exists. Another 50% of the population is going to be Catholic. But that, saying they're Catholic is, you know, oh yeah, I'm Catholic. It's more of an excuse than an actual practicing religion. And then you talk to the Catholics, and 50% of them would say, yeah, I don't believe in God. and you think of the godlessness that's in the area, and it's not something that you don't walk up to someone and say, hey, look, you're dying and you're going to hell and you need to get saved, you need to repent and get saved. It takes time. We talked to two missionaries that, they were like, you have to be in this for the long haul. One man's been there for 18 years, and they're in their first church plant. And that's just the mindset and how they do it. It's a long-term investment. I mean, like I said, the other man, it took him 70 years to plant 14 churches. And when I say 14 churches, it's about like this. And it just takes time. Because in their mind, they've been so ingrained in this doctrine of me and what I can do and what I can achieve that it takes time to show them that the Bible has all the answers that you're looking for. I spoke about the terrorist attacks, and the people were hurting, but they had no hope. You may have seen on the news the Yellow Vest people. They've been protesting. They've been burning buildings and burning cars, and they've been just doing all kinds of things. And those are the people that they don't want to work. The gas prices are going up a little bit. I'm going to go burn a car and protest because I don't want to pay that. I mean, they don't want to work, and it's those people that they need to know what the Bible has to say. I mean, Pastor said it this morning. You don't work, you don't eat. But that's not how they grew up. They don't understand that concept. And so those are the people that we're going to minister to. And being an American, it just sometimes you look at it and you're like, come on, guys. Like, really? You can't even comprehend that you have to do something to earn money. The government just can't always give you handouts. That's just not how it works. And then the time it takes. We are praying that God would just allow us to see something miraculous. I mean, if we don't ask God for big things and pray for big things, we're definitely not going to see big things happen. So we're praying that God is going to allow us to change the culture of Christianity starting in Paris. And then hopefully from there, seeing it spread across France. In Paris, there are 40 countries that are represented by over 10,000 people. 40 countries. That's a lot of different cultures and languages all right there in that one city. And wouldn't it be something if we can see people from those 40 countries get saved, get baptized, get involved, surrender to serve God, and be missionaries to go back and reach their people? You talk about seeing the gospel spreading across the world. There's such a great opportunity there in Paris. And I mean, that's the miracle we're praying for. We're praying that, we know that it takes time, but we're praying that God will allow us to break that mold and that wall of atheism down so that we can more effectively reach people. We're praying that he would allow us to, break the stereotype that it's going to take 20 years to plant a church so that we can see more missionaries come to France. It's a field that's been neglected for so long. We were sitting in a cafe with one of the missionaries we met on a survey trip, and he just got back from a furlough. He was here probably in the States from the beginning of the summer till the end of September, October. And he said he was at a pastor's meeting, and there were probably 15 pastors there. And he stood up in front of them, and he said, "When's the last time you had a missionary to France in your church?" He said, not a single one of those pastors could remember the last time they'd had a missionary to France. And he said, I've seen many people come. I've seen many missionaries come and, they worked here with us for a little bit and then they went out on their own to start a church and got discouraged. They went a year, they went 2 years without seeing a convert, and they got discouraged, and they're like, man, I just don't think this is what God has for us, and they left the field. And that's a story that's happened over and over and over and over. Because it's hard. But we know that by the prayer of God's people, and by us just bathing it in prayer, that God will get us there.
Amen.
That God will allow us to do something. I've said this in every church we've been in. It's, you know, everyone has bills to pay. It's part of life. And it's the finances and the giving of God's people in the church that gets missionaries to the field.
Amen.
It'll get us there. It'll pay our bills. But it's the prayers of God's people. When you pick up a prayer card, you see our picture, you pray for us. It's the prayers of God's people that keep this missionary and his family on the field.
Amen.
Because it's hard. It's going to take time, and we know that. And can you imagine going to work? Maybe you work in, maybe you're a furniture salesman. You go to work, and for 2 years, you don't sell a recliner. Maybe you're a car salesman, and for 5 years, you don't sell a single car. I mean, it gets discouraging. I want to flip over. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians.
Can we do something real quick right before you start there?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah, no, that'd be great. Yeah, I'll go ahead and we can take some questions. If anyone has any questions, I would love to answer them. Yes, ma'am, right here. How long have I been a missionary? I've been a missionary for 5 whole months. Yes, sir. So, and I'm sure that a lot of us have heard that in France, they don't like Americans. I think that we've heard that. But when I think about it, I kind of think of when I learned about slavery back in the 1800s. So in the North, they liked African Americans as a group, but the individuals they didn't care for. In the South, they liked the individuals but didn't really care for the group. So in France, it's kind of like that. I see that a stereotype is they don't like Americans. They don't like the group of Americans and what they represent. But as individuals, they're very polite and they're very kind and they're very helpful to us. So I think that it's more of an individual basis. What they don't like is American tourists come and they're bombastic and loud and obnoxious. And they don't care for that. One of the missionaries we met, he said he was at a cafe? A store. Oh, yeah, he's at a souvenir shop. He was at a souvenir shop, and there was an American buying something from the French souvenir shop owner, and the American was bashing on the souvenir shop owner because her English wasn't good enough. Bashing the French person that her English wasn't good enough. And it's like, you're in France, you're in her country, you should be working on French. There's a joke. Someone that knows 3 languages is a genius. Someone that knows two languages is pretty smart. Someone that knows 1 language is American. And that goes along with the stereotype. So on the individual basis, I mean, and to us when we were there, they were very kind, very helpful. But I think it's just kind of the group they don't really care for. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, even I grew up in North Carolina in the Bible Belt, churches on every street corner. And, you know, I went to a public school, and it wasn't anything like the public schools that I experienced while I was in college in California. I think when you think of, you look at where America is right now in the school systems and where it's kind of headed, the direction it's going in. I think that's where France is right now. So I think, you know, give it a generation of teaching that in the American schools, and you're going to see a lot of that hardness and a lot of that difficulty that we see in France right now. I don't know that I would say America's there yet. I think probably California is the worst of them. Maybe New York. I've never lived in New York. But we're headed that direction. Yes, sir.
I'm curious, do they have a good, reliable French translation of the King James Bible there?
Yes, they do. I was actually just looking at that. That was something that I was curious going. It was two Baptist churches we were in. And I was like, you know, what Bible do you use? And the one that I've found is the Louis Segond Bible. And we'll do a lot more research when we are getting ready to go and, you know, preparing for all the ministry stuff. But I haven't done a ton of research into that right now. But it was translated 1700s, something like that. That's really all I know about it. Yes, sir. Of course. So once we finish deputation, we want to get to France. Arriving in France, we're going to enroll in a language school. We have to learn French. There's a language school. It's in Massy, which is just south of Paris. And we're going to enroll there and give about a year and a half to language study. While we're in language school and studying, we're going to work with either a missionary or one of the pastors there in Paris so that we can, you know, get better acclimated to the French culture, to, you know, how are you reaching French people? How are the French people responding to you? And, you know, just trying to learn the culture as well while we're learning the language. After that time of learning the language, you know, we expect to be fluent in at least a year and a half. They have a scale, it's like an ABC scale that they teach their language on, and a C level would be, you know, like the level of a college professor. And they say it takes about a year and a half to get to that level. But after that, we plan on launching out, finding a place in Paris, and buying, you know, getting a house, getting grounded, and starting to reach people there. A lot of the living situation, it's a lot of apartments, a lot of, you know, tall apartment buildings. We stayed in an apartment while we were there, and you have to have a special swipe key thing, and you have to get through two doors. So, going door to door, it's kind of hard. But one thing I found was you go to a cafe, you go to a coffee shop, and it's not strange if you go and you just sit down next to someone and start talking to them. That's kind of like their culture. They love to, you know, just sit there and talk, and, you know, they'll sit there and talk to you for hours. So as we get started, a lot of our outreach is going to be, you know, I think we're just going to go and we're going to find a place to sit. We're going to talk to people and try to build relationships with people. We're also going to, you know, there's relationships that we build naturally in life. We all have neighbors. We're going to have a realtor to get a house. We're going to see the cashier at the grocery store. So we're going to take those relationships and we're going to try to have conversations with those people eventually, pointing towards God and pointing towards the gospel. We're praying that we have those relationships, we build those relationships, we see people saved, and that's where our church gets started. The timetable on that, you know, like I said, it could be a year, could be 5 years. You know, we don't really know exactly how long it's going to take, and that's one thing we're really praying for. So language school, and just getting started to reach people after that, and praying that God will allow us to start a church. Yes, ma'am. Ça va? Et toi? So probably what we'll do is we'll buy a lot over there. I know, like, my wife, she grew up as a missionary kid. Her parents were missionaries in Africa. And where they were in Africa, you know, you couldn't really get everything you need and a nice quality. So they would put stuff in big shipping containers and take it on a boat and get it over there. But living in Paris, it's first world. Anything we need, we can get there. Anything we need printed, we can get printed. So, you know, really literature, and really anything that we would need, we probably won't be taking with us. It'll be, you know, we're raising money for startup right now, and when we get there, we'll take the startup funds and we'll be able to buy those kinds of things. Yes, sir. So we are allowed to go as missionaries. There's no restrictions from the government as to us being missionaries in France. Where the issue is with the government is that they aren't necessarily pro-Christian. They're pro-Catholic, and because they know that, you know, the Catholic Church is kind of empty. They know that they're not going to have people turning away and against the government because of the Catholic Church. And they use the media to kind of twist the perspective on Christianity. Anything that's not Catholic is a cult. And they kind of use the media to push that. So going in as a Baptist, they think, well, that's not Catholic, so he must be a cult. And no one wants to be part of a cult because cults are just kind of crazy. And they use, you know, they use the extreme cases of a cult to push that, like, you know, the guy, don't drink the Kool-Aid, and, you know, killing all those people, or, you know, a group that just has, like, open marriage with everyone and stuff like that. So they use those situations. They say, hey, this is what a cult is, and then they take all Christians that aren't Catholic and kind of lump them in with that. So the government, they're open to us coming, but they kind of have that that push that they don't really want people to get involved in a, you know, a true gospel preaching church. And that's one of the things we have to overcome, because with that, you know, the media pushes that, you know, these are cults, so people don't want to be part of a cult. So you go and you say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a Baptist, they're like, oh, they kind of turns them off. They don't want to be part. They don't want to be part of your cult. They don't want to be. They don't want to be too close to a cult, so they kind of turn away from that. And that's where it takes time again. It just takes time to, you know, kind of break down. Like, look, this is what the Bible says. Like, you know, like this Bible that the Catholic people have, but they don't do anything with. Yeah, this is what it says. This is what Christianity really looks like. And it's just that time. But there's no restrictions at this moment. There's been some kind of whispers in the European Union thing that there might be some restrictions in the future. They have a lot of whispers, so I don't really put much stock in that, though. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, so that's one thing that's really nice about Paris is, and France, anyone can buy property. Anyone can, they have zero restrictions on, you know, like the French people owning the properties. So we will be able to go in and we can go in and buy property. Now, buying property is very expensive in Paris. We found the perfect apartment. You know, we've looked online and every time we walk past a real estate window, we looked at what they had and we found the perfect apartment for our family. It was right in a district where we wanted to get started, and it was 3 bedrooms, 1,000 square feet. It was on the second floor, I think. They don't have elevators because everything's so old. It was on the second floor, €1.5 million. No, that's to buy it. Yeah, so €1,500,000 to buy that. That's €1,650,000. Yeah, so that, and that's 1,000 square feet. 3 bedrooms. It's very expensive to buy. And I mean, it's expensive to rent as well. So it's just going to take some time and some looking. But so we are able to buy property. It's just, finding something affordable and whatnot.
Let's make one more question and we'll let you wrap up.
Sounds good. One more question? Who's it going to be? Yes, sir.
By hearing you, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's preaching the gospel to every creature.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be there, serving among the people. And we're going to take every opportunity we have to reach the people. If, down the road, you know, someone, we want to try to do everything we can to reach the city. I mean, we want to reach the city, but we realize that it would take a lot of time to reach the city. If it's going to take a year to reach one person, it could take quite a while to reach 10 million people. But we're really focused on reaching one person at a time. I don't know if I'm answering your question well.
Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
The word preach means to proclaim it.
Yes.
To tell it. Not to convince anybody of it. Simply to tell it.
Yeah. I mean, we are telling people about the gospel. I mean, that's our goal for going. You know, we're not going just to build relationships with people. We're going to reach people. You know, we're missionaries. We're going to go and preach the gospel of Christ. But it wouldn't be wise of me to go and tell someone, you know, hey, you're going to hell. You need to get saved. Because one, they're never going to listen to me again. And two, they're not going to get saved from that conversation. They're going to be completely shut off to Christianity because of me being in their face like that. So it wouldn't be wise of me to go and start off like that. It'd be wise of me to go and to take my time to bring someone to that knowledge of Christ. People have went and tried to, you know, be bombastic, but then that goes back to they don't like the Americans because of their bombastic nature. You know, we're not going to contextualize the gospel. The gospel is the gospel. Death, burial, resurrection, that's how people get saved. But what we will do is we are going to have a philosophy to reach those people. You know, it's not like going to Africa and we can say, hey, we're going to have some preaching under a mango tree on Sunday and hundreds of people come and scores get saved. You know, we're praying for the opportunity to share the gospel with one person over the next year. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So we're going and we're preaching the gospel with every opportunity we have to every creature. Yeah, with that, I think our time's up. It's 9:45.